Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen. Good morning, Neil.
Mm-hmm.
And today we are having our third episode on What is an Evil Spirit? So we're going to be getting into that in just a few moments. But first, wanted to let our callers know, the callers that are waiting in the queue, that we will be getting to your calls at about 15 to 20 minutes after our show begins. We do talk first. So please keep your place in the queue. We're looking forward to speaking with you a little later in the show, not too far along. And for those of you who have not called in, 914-338-0164 is our call-in number. And please do press 1 to let us know that you'd like to speak with us. Callers, listeners may follow us here on Blog Talk Radio as well as Facebook and on Twitter. There are two accounts, Facebook, Neil Baker Psychic. You may like that account, and then Neil and Kristen Baker, whereby you may follow us or send us a friend request. So those two options are available as well as the others that I mentioned. 562-596-7818 is the number to call after the show if you'd like to discuss more in detail what you talked about here on the air. Again, 914-338-0164 is our call-in number. And with that, Neil, let's get started. So we were discussing last show, personal evil. So maybe today, I don't know if you had a direction. I have some questions,
well,
or some things that I wanted to
just
mention.
Just briefly to wrap up on personal evil, that one of the phenomena of, I guess we're on the topic of evil energy, and one of the phenomena of evil energy when we get into the realm of personal evil is none other than ourselves. Now, it is an occurrence. There can be an occurrence where you confront the shadow of your past life, where you have done actually evil in another lifetime.
Right. Sometimes it's difficult for people to conceive of the fact that they did great evil in past lives, especially when they're really good people in this lifetime. I mean, it's surprising when you...
Evil is also the notion that we are against light, against God, and that can be to various degrees. We can be at war with ourselves in a lifetime and create a sense of darkness. You know, what if we struggle with certain vices, or if we did a major crime and didn't get away with it, if we died serving eight life sentences and we only served one, shadows of the past life can actually come back and manifest as a shadow. So you're actually seeing a person would actually be, and they can be a good person in that lifetime, you know, but they could actually be seeing a shadow, literally a shadow in their room. And what's happened is that the manifestation of their chakra system, which holds all of their past lives on the soul level, actually, if you will, regurgitates or pushes out of that soul element one of their past lives that appears as a shadowy
energy. So in terms of appearing as a shadowy energy, aside from just a visual, what manifestation might that occur? Might that occur? I don't know the word I'm looking for. How would that manifest?
Well, some people.
I'm still drinking my coffee. I need to wake up this morning.
Well, some people experience that as a literal shadow in their environment, a shadowy figure.
Right, that's what you said.
Aside from that, there can be an internal struggle with the self in the dream world. That would be, sometimes that's referred to as this, well, you're frozen when you're trying to wake up and you're frozen, you feel something is above you.
Oh, actually, sleep paralysis.
That could be a an extension of your own psyche in the energy form. I myself wrote a book called Delusions that involves this topic in a sort of fictitious form about confronting one's past lives and struggling with that. So when we talk about evil, we're just not talking about a metaphor. We're not talking about an idea, an abstraction, an immoral act, an illegal act, a warped psyche. We're talking too about literally spirits, ghosts, and ultimately ourselves. And when we talk about ourselves, we talk about our shadow selves. I mean, that can be referred to it, to some extent, as external evil. And what I mean by that is that it's not internal to the extent that we in our lifetimes are evil people, but it is external to the extent that it came from another world,
right,
another
so
dimension.
Will that intensify the likelihood of experiencing external evil from that past life?
Well, you know, I mean, there's really no escape. If you're back on the planet, you're going to have to encounter
right.
everything you've done on that planet on a karmic level. So there is really no ultimate escape from the crimes of our past. So in some respects, yes. You know, I think that people who have 8 life sentences, there was somebody who just had 8 life sentences we were watching. But an individual like that was given 8 life sentences.
Which he will obviously not will be, he will not be able to complete the life sentences because you don't live 8 lifetimes.
It was the guy who killed 8 women.
Was it the I-5 killer that we were watching?
Something.
Here in California, it was like.
And so he was given 8 consecutive life sentences. Well, obviously that's to consume a person's lifetime. They'll never get out. But when you say 8 consecutive or 5 or 4, whatever it may be, that's the sentence on your soul passed on the earth. So you owe the earth a debt. You can't transcend with that.
And you will come back probably multiple lifetimes. Multiple lifetimes to deal with that. And so many of these, I mean, many, many cases where children are born into extremely abusive situations, that's often the manifestation of past life karma for that.
Traditionally,
I mean, it gets tricky, but
we tend to traditionally in the Judeo-Christian religion, and not so much in Judeo, but we have the concept
more Christian.
that there is a heaven and a hell. We have these normative fields of the afterlife. You're either going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. Maybe if you're Catholic, you're going to go to purgatory, work things out. I'm of the belief that we don't necessarily go to heaven or hell upon our death.
So you're kind of like a Catholic.
I'm just
kidding. But the purgatory idea would be that, you know, you go into some kind of.
No, that's not where I'm going.
Ah, okay.
I believe that if we have evil we shed on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not done. We come back to the planet to pay our debt.
Right. I was going to get there.
Come back.
No, I was going to get there. I know that. But there is, I mean, really, the idea of purgatory exists because purgatory is essentially certain areas of the astral realm where people go before they're sent back to the planet to serve out their sentence.
Yeah. I mean, I believe that there are many levels and that there's somewhat of a holding tank between distinct dimensions. If you want to conceptualize it that way, yeah, there's such a place where there's an evaluation of the soul and the souls are kind of scooped up into this vacuum.
Oftentimes, if you die from suicide or prematurely because of your own actions, you'll be sent to a place before.
Yeah.
So those are some more of the ideas
of
purgatory.
Sure. And of course, all this is you can argue any case we're studying. We're just here trying to fulfill a basic premise of, in a narrow viewpoint, of what is good, what is evil, what are the consequences, and where do these energies come from? And we're concluding that not only do they come from other realms, you know, ghosts and spirits and things like that, demons, but that they come from within ourselves, our own inner demons.
Right, but there are demons that come from external regions that are not to do with the person's own darkness in many cases. We've been in homes where people pick up an entity or even an energy with a consciousness, not necessarily an entity. I don't think we've been together. You and I have not been anywhere where there's like a serious evil spirit. I know you've on other occasions, Neil, have experienced.
I've been in places where there has been definitely evil energy. And threatening it.
And evil can enter a home that is in the light.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to dismantle what that source of light.
Sure. I mean, a light can be put out. And lights aren't absolutely impenetrable. They can be extinguished. So, and we know that individuals of light that walked on this planet have met their doom or their destiny in terms of tragic events, and were often attempted or ridiculed throughout life. We bleed, you know. There isn't anything that we can't escape in totality, especially as long as we're in the physical body. But
because of the dualistic nature of the planet, is what you're saying.
But we also, it works the other way around. Because even though we are on the physicality of this planet, we are embedded in physicality, we are also exposed to things from without that have nothing to do with physicality. So we're more prone to experience something from the outside coming into our world then we are able to travel outside of our world and go to other realms and dimensions, even though that does happen. But our common experience, I mean, maybe it's 50-50. I mean, maybe there's as many people who experience out-of-body experiences and they go to other realms and they see this and that and the other and they talk to guides and spirits, as there are people who have said, I've been attacked by a ghost, I saw an evil spirit, there's something in my home. Maybe it runs 50-50. But there's too many accounts to just define it as aspects of the imagination or some creak in the house that is caused by a wood board.
Right, but we also, you know, back to the conversation about personal demons or personal darkness, we've encountered people that have an overly active imagination and they're producing these symptoms which are not supported by really what's occurring in the environment. So that's more of a personal darkness from past life.
It gets tricky.
So
because
to be able to diagnose properly, you have to really...
Yeah, it's a battle of subjective and objective data. And the theories run true through both elements. We are subjective and we are objective creatures. But when we get into the subjective theory of well-being, whether it's good well-being or sour well-being, if you will, it's hard to really define. For sure, it's a subjective a subjective stance. That's a given. Now, how objective that subjective stance is when it becomes a personal element is hardly definable because you can't really prove something unless everyone has a common experience
right.
And they're under psychic attack as a group.
Right.
Like some of these horror films.
Which are also, I mean, there's many cases, and those are debated, whether, you know, like Amityville Horror comes to mind. I don't know the specifics of that, but, you know, that was a famous case. They made a movie about it. And,
yeah.
You know, whether or not it happened really is debated.
Haunted
so.
Places, haunted homes, haunted locales. They've been with us since, God knows, the beginning of recorded history and even before. where creatures and odd entities were depicted in cave drawings and en masse. Now, is that just the imaginings, the stretching of the imagination in terms of a primitive culture? Or is that something that maybe in those days the third eye was actually more active and not as covered up by the physicality of our naked eye, and there was more of a closer encounter? We've kind of tucked away the evil spirits and the ghosts and the goblins and the demons and brought in the world of science, which altered our state of consciousness as a population and as a world population. But still, nonetheless, the seed of a fear, the seed of evil, the seed of phenomena that appears to be on the dark side, it has always been with us. And even with all the advances of science, it's still running neck to neck with theories of the supernatural.
Yeah. Well, okay, let's take some callers. I think we should probably get a few of these people on the air or we're going to run out of time. 830, you don't have your hand raised. That would you can do so by pressing 1-830. If you'd like to speak with us, please press 1 on your handset. Okay, let's bring on 860. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
Hi, my name is Stacel.
I'm sorry, say that again.
My name is Stacel.
How do you spell that, please?
It's S-T-A-C, like cat, and I-L.
I'm sorry, C, did you say?
Yeah, S-T-A-C-I-L.
That's how I thought you spelled it, I guess, right? Okay, and Stacel. And Stacel, your location and birth date, please, like month, day, and year.
I am from New Britain, Connecticut. I was born in October 18th,
1989. God, I feel like there's someone else born on October 18th that we were dealing with recently. 8, 9, 10, 20, 37, 10, 1. Okay, Stacel, you are a 37, 10 karmic number and a 1 master number. So, what brings you to the show?
Thing going on for October. I'm in a relationship with somebody who's visiting me from Florida. I'm just wondering how that's gonna go.
Okay.
I do have exams, so I'm just trying to see how that would look.
Okay, you know, we're having a hard time hearing you. Can you talk? I don't know if you're on a headset or what, but if you could talk right into the receiver, because are you hearing like words fade?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, yeah, it could be a little bit louder. That will help us out, Stacel.
I was saying, you know, I have exciting plans in October, and that, I don't know if you can hear me better like this.
Yeah, it's better.
Okay. I was saying, you know, I'm in a relationship, and, you know, that he's going to be coming up here from Florida. Never left Florida in his life.
Is he,
I was down there.
Is it a visit or a move that he is making?
A visit.
And
yeah.
Let's get his birth date. So you're wondering about the relationship, how it's going to go when he visits you.
Yeah, like, you know, because we're planning on doing a lot of fun things and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to bring him to Salem, Mass. I'm going to bring him to New York. You know, we're going to do a lot of fun things.
Well, sounds fun.
Yeah. His birthday is September 5th, 1987.
Okay.
And he was born in Orlando, Florida.
3/9/12. Okay, that's not a crucial part of the information. So 39/3, that's it.
No.
Okay. 14/24, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're... 4 together.
Well, let me tell you something, Stacel. Did you
yep.
want to see?
No, go ahead, Neil.
Stacel, when we subtract your year from in 1989, from the last time you had a birthday, 2015, Now, imagine you're subtracting 2015 from 1989. The last two numbers of that digit are 9 and 5. 9 in your year and 5 in the year that you previously turned 26. That 9 and 5 is the same as the month and day of your companion.
Oh.
See? Now, why is that? This is why. Because the meeting is one of destiny. So you have a destiny factor going on with this individual that includes fun, going to New York, showing a good time, but something deeper is happening. So applaud the fun and the gaiety and the union. That's beautiful. But there's something deeper going on. Now, the deep part of this, I don't want to get too heavy, but the deep part of this involves a past life sadness where I believe, now here's where it's all conjecture, but let's go with it. I believe you two were brothers and there was a deep bond and one died prematurely in the other one's arms and there was great tears and great sadness and great turmoil. Now what that means, Stacel, is that somewhere in this lifetime, there are strains of sadness and tragedy and estrangement, difficulties that you both are going to share with one another, although one will be stronger than the other.
Yeah.
And that strength is going to provide the bond, the adhesive energy of the bond that was broken many lifetimes ago. So I believe that the union will be one that is fun, you know, laughter and love and all that, and also heaviness, emotions, getting in touch with something deeper. Because I think that with the energy, you're both compounded human beings. You're a 37 equals 10 equals 1, and you're companion is at 39, 12, 3.
He doesn't know what that means, probably.
Compounded just means you can.
Well, you have an extended karma that can't be sufficed into one number. So some people are 34-7 or a 30 equals 3. You have to reduce your karmic number twice, 37-10-1 and your partner 39-12-3. So it's extended karma from past life.
And because it's a 3 and a 1, it's a broken heart that's coming together. So I believe that the two of you are here to mend a past life broken heart.
And there's
none of what you didn't do bad to each other. You just lost each other in time and space.
And the division between the 3 and 1 is a 2, which brings up the relationship factor, sexuality between them and things like that.
The months themselves add up to 10. 10 and 9 is 19, 10, 1. 13, 14 is a 5. So, you know, you have several 9s in your energy, Stacel. You know, even though one is broken up by an 18, that is quite amazing to the extent that you, I think, well, we don't have a lot of time. I think it's going to go well. I think there's going to be some emotional moments, but I think there's a good flow coming up. Your years are interchangeable. Your 8 just opposed to his 7 is 87. His 8 just opposed to your 9 is 89.
Yeah.
There's several things going on for good measure.
And they're 2 years apart, so is that 2 again.
You have an 11 in your first three numbers, 101, and you were 11 years away from being 37.
Hmm.
So this is a good time for you to meet this person and to get some work done.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Back in May and June.
What? Say that again, because it's again we're having a hard time hearing you.
I was with him back in May and June.
You were with him back in May and June. You had a meeting with him.
Yeah. But
the months you're mentioning come to an 11, 5, and 6. So have you experienced, or does any of my dialogue sound familiar?
Some stuff do. you know, they're familiar. You know, there it was a situation where we had a lot of arguments and stuff, but a lot of it has to do with a friend who was trying to intervene. So now that I trust, she was just trying to, I don't know what she was trying to do.
Yeah, meddling, people that meddle in relationships are never pleasant to deal with, but.
Yeah, that's part of another factor, another story. Perhaps.
You can always call back, Stasol.
Okay,
and
thank
we can
you
discuss
so
that.
Much.
We've
I
got
really...
so many... Go ahead.
I was saying thank you so much. I really appreciate the reading.
You're welcome, and good luck.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome, and we'd love to hear back to hear how the visit goes.
Right.
So please let us know. Okay, next caller is 830. Hi, who's this?
Hey, how are you, Justin?
Hey, Justin.
Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear me? Do I sound okay?
You sound okay.
Okay.
Justin,
well,
where are you calling from?
Texas.
Uh-huh. And what's your birth date?
August 12th, 1986.
Okay. And what's your question?
It's about the spiritual guidance and understanding.
Okay.
And it's about, the things going on, experience. I'm just really confused. I don't know if I should go right or left. Do you know what I mean?
You're saying you're misdirected in your life right now. What you're doing on a spiritual level, is that?
Yes, very. It takes a lot of my energy, and you feel like you're going crazy. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we tend to think that spirituality should be a simplistic program.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's complex.
That's another conference. We're going to do a show on this. That reminds me of a show we were going to do and haven't done. But yeah, it isn't simple.
It isn't simple.
It isn't,
Justin,
simple.
But the fact that you're struggling with this does show. I appreciate that you're making an attempt to probe deeper, and the fact that you bring in the word spirituality and trying to figure it out, and at the same time you're struggling with great questions. That's noteworthy. Our greatest thinkers and philosophers start at that level. There's nothing wrong with struggling with the energy of spirituality, because it does become confusing, especially when you apply it to your ego and the, if you will, the constrictions of your own physical mind. The more that your physical mind opens up to the idea and universality of spirituality, and can grasp it without turmoil, without stress and questions, the more you relax. That's why a lot of people do the meditation thing, because they're just trying to accept the scope and vastness of existence, and to just take it in on the most simplistic terms, which is nothing but silence, where the questions stop and the acceptance comes in. So when you're talking about the struggle, we're in the struggle of the mind, as it tries to comprehend and analyze the aspects of your existence. Now, it might get specific in terms of identity, life goals, the crisis of your life, what you've gone through, why you're here, why you're going through the things, why haven't you actualized everything there is to actualize. You're still on a great quest, Justin. You're about 29 years old. Am I right? Yeah, you're 29 years old.
30.
You have a, you're, oh, I'm sorry, 30.
You just turned 30.
You're 30, my mistake. You're 30, and your karma is going to be traveling through time and space until about 35, where there'll be a great change. Now, in that regard, when that time comes, and we're building up to it year by year, there's going to be a graduation in your mind. So I believe at that point in time, Justin, you're going to have a great job opportunity. You're going to have a great job opportunity, and you're going to be maybe changing jobs, changing locations. Now, of course, it's 5 years away. Your master number is 8. So the multiple of 8, the next multiple of 8 will be 32, which is but 2 years away. And I think then you'll also have a major change in attitude about life. There is a certain artistic slant to your energy. I'm not sure if it comes in from writing or music, but there is, and if you haven't actualized that, there's at least a deep appreciation for these things. But I think that
I have my own tarot deck.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Wait, you created a tarot deck?
Yes, it's the map of my
so
mind
cool.
and the divine. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Say it again.
It's the map of my mind and the divine.
Map of my mind, and this is available retail.
I'm through Balboa Press. I had a radio show. I'm Infinity, the New Age Radio. If y'all remember.
Wait, I think I know who you are. You're on Facebook, aren't you?
I am. I've taken a long year and a half off and have gotten a year and a half lost, you know. But
well, you were sick. Were you sick?
I did get sick with.
I'm sorry.
I got stage 4 cancer in the face.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
But it's definitely been really interesting, you know. I want to get back into things. I feel like I'm at like stage 1, you know, confused and where do I go? Am I crazy?
From stage 4 to stage 1. Are you healing?
I was, and it came back. It comes back so rapidly, you know. I've had 2 surgeries. I will heal. I got to get out of this, what I'm in right now. And I know, you know, but it's a lot. But
yeah,
I'm sorry.
It really is.
Well, yeah, Justin, it's a vast amount, more than our show can accommodate. But in the journey I was referring and alluding to the journey of your life in this lifetime, which of course is an extension of past lives. And in this lifetime, in the immediate journey of your life, you have an 8-1-2, which is an 11, which brings up attitudes of the second chakra. And there's probably a little bit of, in your past life journeys, you're going to find some darkness throughout your life that wasn't resolved. So it comes into this life and takes on the molecular structure, the cell structure, whatever. And then you develop cancer. Your journey here, though, is in spite of that challenge to grasp the higher concepts, which will at least throughout your life, the remainder of your life, take you to a higher place in the hereafter from where you are in the struggles of this lifetime. So as you try to probe deeper and make sense of it all, the goal is to absolutely make sense of it all and to come to some formation of thought that the physicality of life is the illusion. The afterlife is the reality. Now, you're establishing a new reality as you live and breathe because of the very way that you're probing deep into the psyche. And in your particular personal struggle, you have a immediate need to redeem yourself, to take yourself to a higher place of consciousness, which will transcend the body itself and get you in alignment with the physicality of the planet, the natural setting of the planet, the celestial fields, and thereby through that actualized process, you will redeem your soul, take it to a higher place, and seek higher counsel even above this planet. So, you know, keep the journey strong. We're all on a death warrant. We're all here to go. Yours is more immediately life-threatening, perhaps, but all breath is elusive. None of us can hold it for long. And so what we do between the first breath and the last breath of our life is what's going to matter. So make your life matter, probe it deeply, take notes, leave a record, and then hopefully transcend.
And Justin, this is the first time we've spoken with you, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, you can always call the show again. We have to move on to other callers, but your deck again, what was that?
It's The Map of My Mind and the Divine.
Okay, so for those of you seeking a tarot deck, look up Justin's.
And Laura Dupree, you know, she's the author of The Soldiers Left Behind, the book. She flew down and, you know, she helped me. She had to put it into layman's terms, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
Because how I had it, it was too hard to understand, I guess.
Oh, like, okay. So she helped you essentially edit and prepare it to be...
Yeah, so she was a big help.
Oh, that's nice.
So, but thank you all.
Hey, you're welcome, Justin. And we're, you know, sending out prayers to you for your recovery, and keep in touch. Glad you finally called.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care. Okay. And the calls are a bit jumbled. Let's bring on 203.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Pat in Connecticut.
Hey, Pat. How are you?
Good, thanks. 7/12/53.
What's your birth date? 7?
7/12/53.
12/53. I knew it was 7. I couldn't remember if it was 7/21 or 7/12. Okay. And
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was told in my last reading by you that I would be moving to this apartment, that in fact this organization is my tribe. You're absolutely
right.
Correct.
Right. Yeah, was the apartment above the business?
Yes. You've got an amazing memory. You have amazing memory. So I moved in this week, and within a day of finding out I got the apartment, I'm pretty much losing my job.
Oh, no.
So I'm paying two rents until the old apartment gets a new tenant. And
okay, hold on, Pat, I'm going to stop you because we're getting garbled. We can't hear you very well. Neil's like going, huh? So let me bring him up to speed. And then if you could adjust your phone. So the last reading she did, there was a nonprofit group she was going to do work for and also move in upstairs to a unit. So she got the apartment, but now she's losing her job. But this is the job that you're losing, a caregiver job or the job with the nonprofit?
Yeah. It's a caregiver job. I'm just volunteering at the nonprofit.
At the nonprofit. So now you're losing your job. Now we can hear you better. Go on.
So I just, I'm paying two rents until they rent out the other apartment because I broke my lease. I'm just hoping and asking, do you see employment coming very soon? Because I've got the move was expensive and so on and so on. And
Are you happy in the environment you're in, though, the new place?
It is so much better. The place is filthy, so I'm cleaning like crazy. It's got so many holes, I'll have to deal with mice, but I think those are the only things that I'll be dealing with.
It's so much
more space. It's really, really helpful.
And you have a dog, so that's nice.
I have a dog who's been playing for the first time in a couple of years.
That's great.
Space to run. Yeah.
Okay, so is work forthcoming? She's got to get a job.
Well, I don't see any reason in a higher realm why you would have to move from here and be subject to more havoc. I don't really get that.
I'm not asking about moving.
Well, if you don't get a job, are you going to be able to stay there?
Well, it's the cheapest place I'll find. That's not my question. I'm not focusing on that. I'm just focusing on if you see work coming and when.
Yeah. Well, let me go on because I was interrupted. When you're in a certain place, and in that place you were in, you had a job, and that job and that place were simultaneously situated. Now you've lost this job. And the question I'm posing to you is that the job and your living environment have a connection. So you're asking me about a job. And I cannot probe and answer your question about the job without investigating the idea that there's an attachment to it, which is your location, because you chose this location due to with a job in mind, and then you lost your job. So the two are connected. Now,
no, they're not. I'm sorry. I'm volunteering here. I don't have a job.
No. What he's stating is there's a connection between the job you lost and the place on an energetic level. Not
okay.
Yeah. So it's not the volunteering he's talking about. Go ahead.
Yeah. So when you asked me a question, Pat, about the job coming up,
will I find more work? Will I find work?
Well, you're not letting me. So, wait a minute. You're not letting me speak. You're disrupting my train of thought.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. When the job, you're eager to know if you're going to get work. That cannot be answered unless I probe into the energy of where you're living. You don't get it. You're not getting what I'm saying. You're in a different world. You want to hear if you're going to get a job or not. And I'm telling you that the way to answer that question is to look deeply into the environment of where you are living. You don't see the connection, but I do. So in terms of what I'm trying to say is, you wouldn't be in that location if you weren't going to get another job. So
okay.
The very fact that you're in that location, what I'm trying to say to you is you're going to get another job.
Okay. I'm sorry for interrupting you.
No, it's okay.
That's okay. You're in a space of
stress,
of time
panic.
And stress.
Yeah, a little bit of panic.
I understand.
Yeah, but don't worry. Don't worry about that. Well, I'm actually giving you good news. Because you are there, I don't care whether you lost your job. I don't care about your volunteering. Because you are there, you are going to get another job. Now, I think probably the job will come within a two-week period. You have to be proactive, of course, and search and look. But I think, I'll go ahead and make a soft pedal prediction that you'll have work within 2 weeks, which is basically sometime in before the first week of October is exhausted.
Yeah, and Pat, also, because I don't think you let us know that you got the apartment, but if you could, in the future, let us know if something comes through, because we work on the energy of all the callers that are requesting things on the radio. So that helps. And perhaps when there's that information, maybe there's a smoother outcome following, getting the results that you want.
I'm calling to tell you today to confirm that you were right.
I appreciate that. But it's because you lost the job then thereafter. I don't know if that could have been something we worked on keeping that job for her. But
no, that was going to happen anyway. The woman is simply getting better, so it was just going to happen anyway.
Yeah, I think maybe I remember that too. You might have detailed that. So let us know when you get something, okay?
Yeah, you'll get something within 2 weeks, Pat.
Thanks.
And that will sustain you.
Thank you. And I did call, Neil, to tell you, you literally said I would get this apartment, and you even said this was my tribe. So I am calling to confirm that and to thank you. That was the last reading you gave me.
Oh, good.
So,
what I got to make sure, as long as you're connecting to us, that the vibe stays smooth, clear, strong, and we're going to take it to the next job. You're going to love living where you're living. And you're going to feel content with the job you've got. It will last a while. And then, then we'll take up matters. But
that's
what we're having now. So let's keep the vibe strong, the vision secure, and let us know how it turns out.
Okay, thank you,
Pat. Well, thank you so much. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye. Hi, 619. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Donna.
Donna.
Can you hear me?
We have Ethel. No.
Oh, okay. Let me get you Let me see if I can get you off speaker. Okay, I am. I don't know. It's not showing up. I may not be able to get it off because it's not showing up. That's not better.
That's a little bit better. What's your name?
Donna.
Donna. And your birth date, Donna?
10/25/67.
That's better. That's a lot better. 5/6/7/8. And you're California, 31/4. And you are, how old are you, Donna?
Okay.
33 plus 16, 48?
Yeah.
48, going to be 49. What's going on?
Oh, you know, I just, I need to, I'm going to be looking for a place to live. I don't know what to ask about relationships or my move. I'm not really sure. Whatever. I guess I need to be more specific. Relationship, let's go in that area. It's,
okay, relationship. Is there someone in question that we could get a birthday for, or are you just kind of?
No, not really. I mean, I'm still kind of hanging on to probably my past relationship, which I probably shouldn't be, but anyways, nobody in mind.
Donna, let me ask you a question, and you can answer this in a very liberal sense of the word, but what connection do you have with reading books, fiction, writing?
I just read a lot of spiritual books. Not fiction. I like real stuff, you know, stuff that
you like spiritual books. Sometimes
yeah, a lot
spiritual
of like
books.
Everything in that realm.
Sometimes spiritual books takes on the feeling of fiction because it's dealing with a matter of esoteric language.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
I think the relationship you're going to have is going to come from that realm, spiritualism.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, either you join a spiritual group.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what everybody will say to you. But, and so I'm falling into the same
trap.
That's stereotype.
Okay.
But a reading group or a group where spiritually like-minded people meet, that's where I see your relationship coming from. Now, you may find it without having to go there. Maybe the universe will just slip this person in. But if you want to have more proactive element going on, I would suggest you do that. Are you a person that might do something like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like to go to the meetup groups around here, so I'm going to look into that, you know, further. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do that, Donna. You're right now at a wonderful time of your life. You're on your 12th cycle of four.
Uh-huh.
And you do have a 12-year energy, 102. There's a 12 in there. And it leads next to a 5, which is the throat chakra, which is communication and writing. So I think you're 17 years past the element of 31. What happened when you were 31 years old?
What happened? Oh, gosh. Like a life learning experience, I would say, you know, lesson that needed. Yeah.
Well, the light learning experience at 37 is going to turn into a light relationship, L-I-G-H-T, at 48. So I think you're going to have as soon as October, you could be encountering somebody if you get on the ball here.
I could be encountering who?
Somebody.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, Heather, we've got a few other callers, so I'm sorry it's short, but you can always call
back. Thank you so much.
That's what I said.
I appreciate your time. God bless. Okay, bye-bye.
Oh, bye-bye. Did I call her Heather? Because
no.
She sounds like somebody we know. That's what's so weird. Her manner and everything. It's very interesting. I'm sorry, Donna. Called you by the wrong name. All right. 805, this is Cheryl. Hi, Cheryl. 776.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Fine, thanks.
Okay.
How are you? What's going on?
Okay.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Okay, anyways, I was trying to get a hold of you Wednesday. I wasn't sure if you did a show, but I'm glad you're on this topic because this is actually what I was trying to reach you for on Wednesday, you know, negative entities.
We didn't get your call. Your call didn't
right. I tried calling it like 15 after and it said there's no shows for 24 hours. And I thought, what's going on with it? I don't know if they shut the line. Yeah, it was really weird. But anyways, last month when I was up in Sedona, I had talked to somebody new, and they were talking about, have you had experience with negative entities? And I'm like, no. And I'm thinking, that's weird. Well, mm-hmm. in the past 2 weeks, it's like my plumbing is messed up 3 times. My fridge, which is pretty new, had to have a repair guy out for that. Then my electrical in my master bathroom just shot, completely went out. And I thought, now I'm really starting to feel like something's going on. And I recently assisted one of my medium friends do a live feed on Facebook. And she normally gets like 300 people. And I was able to bring in, I guess she said close to 4,000. And I thought, maybe I wasn't grounded and, you know, they're not happy about this. But I'm just concerned about, like, maybe grounding better or these negative entities. Something just doesn't feel right that's going on right now.
Okay.
We're all the way over here. What state are you in?
She's here in California. She's
California.
Like an hour away from us.
Oh.
She has property in Sedona, and she lives in California.
Thousand Oaks.
I know who you are. Okay.
Yeah.
So what's going on, Cheryl? It's not an entity.
Mm-mm.
It's not an entity. You don't. What's going on? You know, we're human beings, and we have a lot of electromagnetic energy in our field. And for some reason, sometimes the intensity of a human being can actually put out at times a strong electrical outburst. And what's happening is that your energy field is overactive, and you're sending out a signal that's causing the plumbing, the fridge, the electrical to kind of go out because of the, imagine you're like a wave in a, when you drop a pebble in the ocean and the pond and the ripples, or the ripples
right.
of sound, you're sending out an energy that's a little bit disruptive. It's not a big deal. It's just the intensity is too high. So your engine is running high. There might be reasons for this. I don't want to go into the personal reasons on the radio, but the reasons that I feel that are causing this can be altered and toned down a bit within the energy field of who you are, and these things won't be happening. It's not an entity. Just trust me. I feel for these things, and I
is
just
it
don't
better
get
grounding?
Involved.
Do I need to ground better? Because I've never felt more down to earth from, I mean, this might sound silly, but like worrying about how I look. I used to get Botox done and stuff. I really don't care. I just feel good in my own skin these days more than I ever have.
Yeah.
So,
no, it's not a grounding. No, I never mentioned grounding. It's an electrical impulse. It could be excitement. It could be you're just putting out an electrical charge that's interacting with your physical environment and causing these things to happen.
Something needs to be modified in that output so that the events or the things that you're experiencing in your home
yeah.
are toned down. That's
it's
all it is.
It's more like a tune-up. You know, if you take your car in for a tune-up, they're not going to say, hey, we got to take the engine out. If you diagnose it, it needs to be tuned to spark plugs, whatever, and you go on your happy way. Cars need tune-ups. People need tune-ups. Your engine's running high. It may
can anxiety do that as well? Anxiety, would that be the same thing?
Yeah, anxiety can do it.
Okay.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Yeah.
So the first measurement is calmness, tranquility. Bring it down a little bit, and let's see if that works first.
Yeah,
and
I think I'm going to try meditation because they can't even troubleshoot it. The electrician was out here for an hour, and he's like, I don't even know where it's at.
Well,
no, because he didn't dissect you.
Right,
he would have had to have been a surgeon and said, oh, here's your problem. It's right next to your liver. You know.
It's definitely me. I mean, it's just with the election and everything coming up, I'm just really charged
yeah.
about what I feel about it. And I know a lot of people are running high anxiety, but – yeah, that makes sense. Okay, well,
yeah,
good, because I didn't want to
down.
Think it was an entity.
No, that's which is good news. That I mean, because that involves a whole different level of clearing, which sometimes involves more hands-on.
If anyone tells you it's an entity, don't listen to that. It's nonsense. I don't get that.
Okay, Cheryl.
Yeah,
that
makes sense. All right, well, thank you. And, you know, blessings to the last caller that called in. I hope he gets on his feet again. And,
yeah, thank
you. You know, what doesn't
kill you
doesn't
kill
you
makes you
stronger.
Try to stay away from Botox, Cheryl. I know it's tempting.
Yeah,
no,
I'm totally, like, done with all that.
huh?
I'm done with all that. I liked it for like 5 years, and I'm like, no, I really don't need it, you know. So, no, turning 50 has actually been great. After you get over that hump, you're like, no, you know, it is what it is, and
yeah,
I feel better. I feel better not worried about any of that.
Well, it's a toxin. It's a toxin, so it's not good to put in for your third eye. It's not good either. But
right,
good for
maybe
you.
It's good that it's gone. That might be good. That might be a good thing after 5 years not doing it.
Yeah.
All right.
So.
Well, you guys
okay.
have a great weekend, and
you
thank
too.
You for all you do for everybody. Okay.
Oh, thanks a lot. We appreciate it, Cheryl. I'll talk to you soon. Okay, 512 is our final caller of the day. For those who didn't make it on, we are back on the air on Wednesday. 512. Hi.
Hello. Anil,
hi, who's this?
Excuse me?
Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Polly. I'm sorry. Back in the door.
We're getting, everybody's garbled today. What was your name?
My name is Polly.
Polly.
Uh-huh.
And where are you calling from, Polly? What's your birth date?
Calling from Austin, Texas, and my birthday's 5/26/57.
5/26/57. Welcome to the show. Gosh, that's funny because Polly, that name just came up yesterday. Do you remember, Neil?
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't that funny? 13, 23, 36, 9. 36, 9, right? All right. Did I do that wrong? 5/6/7, 13.
I have a 35/8.
Oh, yeah, 35/8. I added that wrong. 35/8. Okay, Polly, what's going on?
I just wanted to see if I can get some insight. I've got some issues with my mother, and I just wanted to get some insight.
Say that again? You just want
to... Just have some insight on it.
Okay, what's your mother's birth date?
Let's see. I have it right here. Hold on. Sorry. 9/11/1938.
Okay. 9/11/38. Lots of 11s. 9/10/11 and the 38's an 11. 21. Oh, 32. 32/5. Okay, and that's your month. Her master number is your month. In fact, 35 is her karmic number. Is in
the number. The your number and your mother's number added together become the same as 5/2/6.
Yeah.
Added together. Is your dad crossed over? Is there a divorce or a distance between the father and the mother?
Yes, he's crossed over.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, so your issues with your mother go back to a karmic time and place. The energy that you're having with your mother goes to a past life. And, that's not the worst thing. We come into the world, we have certain histories with the people that we are connected to by blood. And sometimes the souls have a lot of journey with it. And so your mother, I think, is in a very difficult place right now, not to mention you aren't, but your mother's in a very difficult place right now. And that might be compounded by the fact that she's problematic to begin with. There might be some problems going on with your mother that have nothing to do with just her difficulties, but have to do with her psyche itself. Has your mom been on any medical medications, legitimate doctor medications?
Yeah, she's on, she's going through dementia right now.
Yeah. So that, it's difficult. Polly, you're going to have to take the upper hand here and bear with your mother. You know, some ways to do that is to just, you yourself are grounded. You yourself are happy. And you yourself have a life. If any of those items that I just mentioned are in ill repair, you're going to have a harder time with your mother because you're not going to have the stability you need when you're around her. The psyche is the mother's supposed to take care of us and be accountable. Right now, your mother isn't. And if you're not in a really strong place, the world's going to seem chaotic because your mother has even lost more of her stability than what she had. So it's a difficult psyche problem you've got. It's based on karma, and it's based also on the fact that father or her husband, your father, has crossed over, and there might have been a lot of turmoil within the relationship there, where a lot of times the men just leave. They can't take it, and they're out of here. You never would know that until you look deeply into the psyche. But that doesn't mean that a man can't love his family, be there, provide. But sometimes, unfortunately, existence has its toll. Well, that's where the journey is. So I would say, because we're run out of time, I would say your sense of grounding has to be personal. And if your sense of grounding is personal and solid, you're going to have a better time coping with your mother. If it isn't, it's going to be very challenging, even more than it is.
And hopefully, Polly, that's helped a little bit. You caught us at the end of the show, so we went a little bit over for you. Oh, we would love that. We're on Facebook, too. And if you want to call back, because I know you didn't get a lot of chance to express yourself about this, you're welcome to call back on a forthcoming show and talk about the specific of what's going on with your mom and how it's impacting you. Okay.
Wonderful. Great show. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it. And we are back on the air Wednesday. Bye-bye, Polly. Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Thanks, callers.